Greetings in Jesus' name. Already blessed in being here. God's word is alive. I marvel many times how the Old Testament serves as a springboard to bring out New Testament truth. We'll again have that tonight. Let's sing our theme song.
Trees of the ocean vast, carved out the mountains from the distant past, molded among my reclay. He then is not, but he went astray. I own the cattle on a thousand hills. I write the music for the whippoorwill. Control the planets and rills. But give your freedom to your own. Waters in my mighty hand, spread out in single span, and humble at voice. When sons come to me by choice, I own the cattle on a thousand hills. I write the music for the whippoorwill. With their rocks and rills, but give you freedom to use your own will. Even the oxen know the master's stall, and sheep recognize the shepherd's call. I will demand your love, I own you twice, but only willing love will break the price. I own the cattle on a thousand hills. I write the music for the whippoorwill. Atoll the planets and rocks and rills. But give you freedom to use your own will. And if you want me to, I'll make you whole. I'll only do it if you say so. I'll never force you, though I love you so. I give you freedom. Is it yes or no? Give you freedom. Is it yes or no?
Freedom. Yes, God wants us to have freedom. Did anyone find any more of the verses that we have been trying to dig for? Go ahead, yes. Thank you. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Many times the scriptures refer to the people as the world, but in this in this wording, and there's some other verses that also refer to the earth. I think it's talking about God trying to get through with a message to those on earth. All right, we have one more. Does anyone know what that is? Thank you for that. Tim here, he whispered to me tonight, he said he found them. I'm sure he knows what the other one is. What is it, Tim?
Ezekiel 21:27.
All right, go ahead and read that. It's over in Ezekiel 21:27. That would be a message in itself. I will overturn. I think the setting, if I have it correctly, was how God is able to bring low the kingdom of the world. And that happened time and time again when God overturned the kingdoms, and there was those that rose up and God brought down. But I think there's even a deeper message that we could take from that. That finally God is going to bring everything to judgment. Well, thank you for your help in that. Those four words, as we have it, that are repeated in that way, they do have a message. For tonight, like we mentioned, we're going to start with something in the Old Testament and then move into a New Testament principle of the new birth. We're going to start tonight, the title is The Balm of Gilead. And the land of Gilead is in the east of the Jordan River. It's a place where the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh shared this land when the children of Israel were given their allotted portions. Some of the region was thickly wooded and still is today, and also contains rich grazing land. And this land of Gilead is a land that there were many who fled to this country when they were sought after. Jacob fled to Gilead from Laban, his father-in-law. Some of the Israelites who feared the Philistines in King Saul's day fled to Gilead. And there are more accounts. But there's an interesting thing about this balm of Gilead. And there's a verse in Jeremiah 8, verse 22, that says, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of my daughter, of the daughter of my people, recovered?" We know that Jeremiah was a weeping prophet, and he longed to see the people of Israel at peace. Israel was in unbelief, rebellion, slidden back by a perpetual backsliding in pride and in worship of idols. And those lists could go on. We have in 2 Chronicles 36, verse 16, "But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people till there was no remedy." When Joseph, his brothers sold him to the Ishmaelites, and they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. This balm was used in many different ways. I think it was used in the form of a balm for pain. It could be rubbed on for pain, or it could be rubbed on and even used for complexion. Just like maybe some of the things we hear about today, that how can this product do so many different things? That's a little bit how this balm was. And it was used even for the Egyptians, probably used it for the embalming process that they did. After all, they were very skilled in that practice. And it's a resin that was tapped and collected from of great value as a medicine. It came from a certain kind of tree, and it was similar to an evergreen tree. And I don't know if it's really that popular today. But God is saying, or Jeremiah, the question that that came up was, is there no balm in Gilead? Why then are the people, with all their iniquity, why are they not healed? What is the reason? Why do they continue in their unbelief and in their bent away from God? We have in Jeremiah 8, verse 15, we look for peace, but no good came. We look for a time of health, and behold, trouble. 2 Chronicles 36, verse 16. Well, I think I read that verse, how they mocked the messengers of God. And then let's move over into Jeremiah. I invite you to turn your Bibles over here to Jeremiah chapter 30. We like to read a few verses of the condition that Israel was in. Begin reading in verse 9. But they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I raise up unto them. Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel. For lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return, and shall be at rest and be quiet, and none shall make them afraid. Then in verse 12, for thus saith the Lord, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not, for I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, and with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. Why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. I have done these things unto thee. We get a picture here tonight of the condition that Israel was in. And yes, as we study this account, when God dealt with Israel, and finally they were ripe for something to happen. We know the story. They ended up in the land of the Chaldees. And for 70 years, there they were in a foreign country. And many of them, when they wanted to hear, when the people of the land wanted them to sing a song, they said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? They hung their harps on the willows. They were in distress. They were in a place that they knew they don't belong. But then God had a plan. He had something in mind that he's going to deliver them. And he's going to make a way for them. But it took a long time for that to happen, and many of them died there. And there's many accounts throughout the Old Testament of things that happened, time they were in the land of Babylon. But the time came when God did bring about a deliverance. Is there no balm in Gilead? Yes, there was a balm. Is there no physician there? Yes. There were people there who were skilled to apply it. Look at from the natural sense. Ye die because ye are not, because ye will not use the remedy. The Israelites are presented as a dying man through disease. It's very easy to understand that because of the condition that they were in. They were diseased with unbelief and with a heart that was rebellious, that was backslidden. They had pride. They worshiped idols, things that they were directly commanded not to do. And yet God had to bring them down. He had to deal with them. But though there be a balm and a physician, the people are not cured. Neither their spiritual or political evils are removed. But what may all this spiritually? What does this mean spiritually? The people are morally diseased. They have sinned against God and provoked him to destroy them. They are warned by the prophet to repent and turn to God. They refuse and sin on. What? Might they not have avoided this? Yes, they could have. Was it God's fault? No, it wasn't God's fault. Did he not send his prophets with the richest offers of mercy? Did he not give them time, the best instructions, the most effectual means of returning to him? God did everything he could to try to woo them back, to draw them back to him and to be on the right way, on the right foundation. Why then were they not converted and healed? Because they would not apply to the divine physician to receive the only remedy by which they could be healed. There they were in that condition. Let's go to Jeremiah 33. I'd like to read a few verses. Begin in verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord hath formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And then down to verse 6. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and I will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth, and I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and I will build them as at the first, and I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquity whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, of praise, and of honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them. And they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. And here we get a picture tonight of a returning, of a coming back, and of what God is able to do when they respond to him. They give ear to him and to his word. In Galatians 4 verse 9. For after that ye have known God, are known of God, how ye turn again. And this is talking to the weak and the beggar of the elements. Whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage. But then God brought them back. He delivered them. He brought peace to them. The Lord offered a remedy. He was a divine healer. And now as we think of what God was able to do with Israel, what is he able to do for us? What did he offer to us in our time? But thinking of the words of Jesus, how that Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted,
to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. We have here a beautiful message. Jesus was set apart for a special purpose, for the purpose to bring those who are sick, to nurture them to health, from slavery to liberty, from darkness to light, from misery to happiness. What a beautiful message of what Christ is offering to us today. Yes, there are many who are diseased with sin and evil and with the grips of the devil. And Jesus, in Isaiah 53, a prophecy, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. We can be healed. What a beautiful expression. What a beautiful opportunity we have to be healed from our sins. In 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I think of Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy disease. What God is able to do if we allow him to. Jesus healed many physical diseases. He didn't need the balm of Gilead to heal the sick. The ministry of Jesus while he was here on earth, how blind received their sight, the lame walked, the lepers were cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead were raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. What is the balm that is available and offered to us today? We have a balm today that is offered to us. We have the aid of the Holy Spirit that God is able to send our way, and he's able to dwell within the hearts of all those that call upon him. The Comforter, the Holy Ghost, which the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus did not need an army to accomplish his work. As the Spirit dwells in the heart of the believer, there are expressions that prove, that give evidence of that. The Spirit is formulated in ways that give evidence that the work of his work in our hearts and lives, just as the balm of Gilead is formulated into different uses. So this evening, as we consider what Christ is offering to us, and then my mind went to the account of Nicodemus. And let's move over into the New Testament in John chapter 3 of the offer of the foundation of our Christian faith and what it takes to believe. It takes a new birth. It takes a change of heart. It takes a new outlook. It takes a turning around, going the other direction. And then Nicodemus, a rabbi, we know the story. But I think there's a profound message that we need to consider. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles which thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Then we have that all familiar verse that maybe all of us know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is condemned, but he that believeth not, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And here tonight, as we consider this beautiful message that Jesus was teaching here, and how Nicodemus got a hold of this. And here it is tonight for us. It's here for us to understand. We were born with a sinful nature, and Jesus came to provide a remedy for our sinful condition. Here we have it. Ye must be born again. That's the only way that we're going to make it through the pearly gates, is if we have new life in Christ. We understand his plan, and we've committed our life. We surrender our life. Even though we were sometimes foolish, like we have in Titus chapter 3, we were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. The foolish, we were without understanding, irrational, disobedient to parents, or maybe civil authority, to God, deceived by the enemy, by our own hearts. It is a characteristic of man by nature that he sees nothing in its true light. Serving divers lusts, not serve or gratified by our lusts and pleasures, but living as their slaves, a life of misery and wretchedness, pleasures, sensual pleasures of the flesh, living in malice and envy, displeasure at the happiness and prosperity of others, ill will, hateful. It means that our conduct was such as to be worthy of the hatred of others. That's an awful state to be in, that we're living such a life that others hate us. But that's the nature of how the devil works. Hating one another. There is no brotherly love, no true affection for others. That is ill will felt in the heart. A heart away from God. God's plan for salvation and redemption is for whosoever will. And here we have this beautiful invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. The new birth is a requirement, a must, to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It takes a believing by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. It involves a broken and a contrite heart. and a broken and a contrite heart God will not despise. The apostle Saul, when he had his encounter with God, with Jesus there on the Damascus Road, "Lord, what would thou have me to do?" A willingness to accept direction is a trademark of the new birth. We confess our sins. We want to be right with God. To partake spiritually of Jesus, the old man must be crucified with its affections and lusts. There's new life. There's a different appetite. You don't have the appetite after the flesh. That all changes. You have an appetite for the things of God. A different diet. A new birth must result in a changed life. No longer will the person want to associate with his old friends, sinful friends, do things, go places that the flesh desires to go, but rather have a testimony to share what the Lord has done. A new heart also will give you a new spirit. Why put it within you? He will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and will give you a new heart, a new spirit. Behold what manner of love the Father has showed to us, that we can be called the sons of God. We have one of the most blessed opportunities today to give ourselves fully to God, yield ourselves to Him. And yet, why is it that it's so hard? Why is it that the devil would love to just keep us in his grips? Sad to say, he's successful in many ways. But praise God tonight that there are many who have made a choice to follow Christ. But the broad way, there's a lot more people in the broad way tonight than on the narrow way. When I think of my own experience, when I was young, and I felt that feeling of condemnation in my life, and I knew something wasn't right. And I didn't have a dramatic experience of coming to the light, but as God continued to work, and I felt that condemnation, and I just gave my heart, yielded my life to God, acknowledged my need, and He came and gave me peace. And I know that experiences vary as the light of the gospel is dawning upon individuals. Yes, there are those times that when they get a grip of the condition that they have, maybe they respond at the meetings. Maybe they come to their parents, or maybe the experience that they have alone with God. And I don't think there's a direct pattern that needs to be followed. But the important thing tonight is that you understand what it is to see your need, to feel your wretchedness and your undoneness, and that you need a Savior, and that you respond to Him when this balm, this Holy Spirit, is at work. We're offering tonight a balm of Gilead that is able to bring healing to a sin-sick soul. Beautiful message tonight, the new birth of coming to the light. In our community, about 30 miles from where we live, there was a young boy in his youth. He developed a desire and a hankering after the things of the world. He was part of the church. He left the church, still lived in the community. We learned to know him, his family. He was in and out of our farm at different times. And as a youth, when he started his course away from God and his appetite for the things of the world, And of course, there were many people, his parents, the church, friends that were concerned for the sinful life he was living. He got into wrong company, wrong associates, immorality, drugs. He had some accidents that caused some hospital stays, and now one of two of them was with a cycle. And I know that he had serious injuries, and people thought that surely something like this would do something and draw him and help him to sense his need. He recovered. After a while, he had another accident, another hospital stay, recovery. I know there was a time he was in traction because of the bruises that his body had. But he recovered. But he still didn't give his heart to God. Sometime later, he had another accident. And even in the meantime, his parents discovered that they were grandparents. Didn't know it for about a year. But then when he went on a trip, he wanted to see his girlfriend in another state. And again, he had another accident. And it was such a serious accident that he was unconscious. He ended up in the hospital. And he never regained consciousness. And the decision that needed to be made for him, what are they going to do? He was on life support. Finally, they decided, because there was no evidence that he's ever going to recover, they took life support off. He died. We went to that funeral. You can only imagine. I think it was his uncle that preached the message. He had a message to the living. After all, that's usually how it is at a funeral, isn't it? But this was different. Many who knew his life, the way he lived, caused many to think seriously. It was for everyone. And then sometime later, I worked with his dad part-time at a place of business. And one morning he came. And then he showed a picture of the truck that he hit on the road. And it was all evidence that he was going a high rate of speed. And it was a straight job truck. And the passenger in that truck ended up with some injury. And all he knew at that point, and this was quite a while later, that this person was paralyzed from his waist down. And this father said, "I live." I live with the reality of knowing that my son hurt other people. Dear friends, tonight, living after a selfish and a sinful and ungodly life is not worth it. We are not promised tomorrow. We know not when God will call us out of this life. And I think of the verse, "He that often hardeneth neck," and doesn't, I can't put the words together, and how God sometimes allows things to happen without hope. We are among the living. You and I are here tonight. If you are troubled, if you are struggling, if you want peace, there is a way to find peace. Jesus is saying, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus is offering healing for the sin-sick soul. Jesus wants us to experience freedom. He wants us to experience a peace that passes all understanding. And I'm glad tonight that I can testify of that. And there are many others here tonight that can do the same. A peace that passes all understanding. And in this world that is headed for destruction, it is bound for destruction. But for the child of God, we're headed the other direction. We're headed towards glory. And this is our offer tonight. And Jesus' words is to come. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Almighty God in heaven, we thank you tonight that you are on the throne. We thank you that you can see into the very hearts of everyone gathered here this evening. And oh God, we pray that your spirit would continue to work. Pray that if there's anyone that has a heart, a stony heart, or a heart that is sensitive to your spirit working tonight, that they would be willing to give their life to you. And we also thank you for those that are here tonight that know what peace is, true peace, and that this peace can continue to be experienced from day to day. So Lord, we commit this time and the remainder of this service to you. In Jesus' name, amen.